and fight back against the various forces that would keep us from seizing power as a people. And now I've run out of all of my time, so I want to say thank you very much for tuning in to Press Watch on KBOO Portland, going out to you 90.7 FM and via KBOO.FM to all the ships at sea.
This is KBOO Portland. The time is 9:30. Coming up next is Fight the Empire, where host Per Fogering connects history with the latest world events.
Please, Mr. Redman, don't put me out in the street.
The Community Alliance of Tenants is working to increase awareness in Washington County of the statewide law SB 608 that was passed in early 2019. It limits rent increases and no-cause terminations for residential leases. There is a temporary bilingual English and Spanish hotline set up for Washington County renters with questions about SB 608, rent increases, no-cause termination notices, and/or lease non-renewal notices. Phone number is 503-644-3007. Again, that's the Renter's Right Hotline phone number for Washington County every Thursday from 6 to 8 p.m. through January 30th at 503-644-3007. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
I'm right in the middle of solving that riddle known as raising the rent.
Well, good morning. Welcome to 2020. see if our eyesight is 2020 at gazing into the future from this vantage point we find ourselves in. Boy, I turned on the news this morning, and it looks to me like Australia is burning up. As far as, you know, I mean, there's stories of towns surrounded by fire, these coastal towns. People are retreating to the beaches and kind of sitting in the water, you know, off the coast, and maybe being rescued by boats or whatever, and roads blocked. Is really it's and as far as I can tell, there is nothing to stop these flames from spreading. Every day, you know, there's more and more what they call hectares, which I guess is a couple acres or something, but the you know, the fires merge and they get bigger, and as far as I can see, there's nothing to stop them. The climate is heating up, fires heated up even more. They expect, Australia, of course, being in the southern hemisphere, is having its summer right now, and maybe in a month or two there will be the regular rains. But the way the weather is these days, who knows? But that's still quite a long time off. And so what's to stop this fire just from continuing to spread until, well, I guess it's kind of, who knows? And the Prime Minister of Australia, Mr. Scott Morrison, took a few days off to go on vacation in Hawaii while all this was going on. And he cut short his vacation to come back and get heckled. Anyway, that's really very depressing news. But, well, what do we have to look forward to this 2020? President Trump will, having been impeached in the House, will go on trial in the Senate at some point. I'm not sure what's holding things up. I think Nancy Pelosi has to send the impeachment papers to the Senate. I don't know if she's done that yet or not, but anyway, you know, the impeachment game goes on, and there will be a trial, I suppose, eventually in the Senate, and everybody expects Trump to be found not guilty because the Republicans control the Senate. But who knows what could happen in between now and then. But right now, it looks like it'll be a fizzle. But there's so much animosity between the two parties. But they put aside their animosity for important issues, like passing a military budget. I think a large number of Democrats, I believe 188 Democrats, put their animosities aside and passed this huge war budget of $738 billion plus. I mean, that's just the sort of the official war budget. There's all sorts of extras. There's all sorts of funds that are hidden in other departments and whatever. So people who have observed the scene say that actually we spend about probably $1 trillion a year on war. And the politicians, Democrats and Republicans, acting together, passed this huge war budget for Donald Trump. Here's this, I sort of wonder what the Democrats are thinking. I mean, they're ready to impeach Donald Trump, throw him out on his big rear end, and but still they give him $738 billion to play around with as far as the our war-making role in the world. Another example of this kind of inter-party cooperation is Honduras. Right now, if you remember, it was some time ago, there was a coup in Honduras. Elected president was thrown out of office. And this happened during the Obama administration. I believe Hillary Clinton, who was Secretary of State, thought it was just fine. She was supporting this move. And right now, Honduras is a sort of a disaster zone. It's, there's the usual poverty. There are gangs that are running rampant. People are fleeing. And then, of course, they come, they head north to this country. And the Republicans, Donald Trump, punishes the victims. So you see, the Democrats support what sort of started off this disaster or continued this disaster. And the Trump Republicans make political hay out of it. Another thing we might look forward to this year will be Saudi Arabia has found some people guilty of killing journalist Jamal Khashoggi in the embassy in Turkey, and five men were found guilty and will be executed. But it's very interesting that they do not give the names of these five men. We don't know who they are. So how do we know if they're really being executed or not? I mean, the Saudi rulers, they could march five guys into what they call Chop Chop Square and behead them, and not knowing who they are or anything about them, the rulers will say, well, those are the guys that killed Khashoggi, and we have meted out justice. And the West will probably take Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman at his word and move on. You know, I'm thinking if they could somehow blame all this on Putin, I'm sure they would. And then we'd never hear the end of it. But we don't hear a whole lot about it now because everybody is sort of assuming that Saudi Arabia has brought the killers to justice, and we're not going to rattle the cage very much anymore. The reason being that Saudi Arabia provides the West with an awful lot of oil, an awful lot of cheap oil. Our political and business leaders say we really don't need Saudi oil, but that's not true. The so-called fracking revolution is petering out. When you look at what the fracking process does, it's amazing it's just lasted as long as it has. What it is when oil wells are depleted and they find areas where minute droplets of oil are kind of mingled in with sandstone and other minerals, they can shoot in kind of a noxious, poisonous liquid to root out all these particles of oil, poisoning the soil around it. And basically, it's a way of scraping the bottom of the barrel. And interesting thing is that none of these fracking companies, as far as I know, have made any profit at all. They do their operations with money that is provided by investors, by gullible investors who believe in this fracking revolution. But that seems to be running out. The fracked oil, the wells deplete very quickly, so you have to dig a new one. And so it's very expensive oil, and it's not going to last for really a long time. And interesting thing is that Saudi Arabia may be running out of oil too. Nobody really knows, because the Saudi rulers keep everybody, they don't really release their figures. A number of years ago, an oil investor named Matt Simmons wrote a book called Twilight in the Desert, and he went over all the figures that he could find at that time, and he concluded that Saudi oil was not in the plentiful supply that we think it is. Well, another thing that's going to happen soon is that the borders of the European Union will change, because Britain is going for Brexit, what they call it. This was done as a result of a referendum a few years back, where the British people voted to quit the European Union, and that is going forward. Supposedly, I believe the latest deadline is the end of this month. So the borders of the Union, European Union, will have changed. Also, but that has repercussions, because Scotland does not want to leave the European Union. So Scotland may decide to leave the United Kingdom instead. And the leader of the Scottish National Party is saying that they're going to have a referendum. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson says Britain will not allow it, but it's hard to see what Britain can actually do about it. So Scotland may leave the United Kingdom. And also Northern Ireland may leave the United Kingdom, because they have a serious border question where right now Ireland is a part of the United Kingdom, so is Northern Ireland. So there's really no border between these two entities. So people come and go. People live on both sides of the border, do the shopping on one side, live on the other. And so Ireland is less divided than it was before, and the people like it that way. But if Britain leaves the European Union and takes Northern Ireland with it, then the borders will go back up. All the customs controls and all that kind of stuff will have returned. If anybody wants to call in with a question or comment, the phone number is 503-231-8187. We might go back and sort of dig back in the past. Well, how did Northern Ireland become Northern Ireland? Well, it was born back around, I think around late 1600s, where the British Empire imported a whole lot of Scottish Protestants and settled them in what is now Northern Ireland, in the province of Ulster. And the Irish landowners were dispossessed, and this wound up in the Great Famine of 1840s. But that's how Northern Ireland was born. The Brits brought in these Scottish Protestants into a unit, into a kind of a Catholic area, setting up sectarian animosity that lasts to this day. And they probably thought it was a very cool move at the time. It kept them ruling Ireland for another couple hundred years, but now it's kind of coming back to bite them. because when Ireland became free back in 1922, the northern part was partitioned off, and this led to the Troubles. And it's very interesting that the British Empire did something very similar in other places. Ceylon, which is now Sri Lanka, and Burma, which is now Myanmar, they were part of the British Empire, and the Brits moved in indentured workers. In Ceylon, they moved in indentured workers from India to work in the tea plantations, and these are the Tamil people. And this led a few hundred years later to the civil war in Sri Lanka between the Tamil Tigers and the government of Sri Lanka. We have a caller on the line. Steve's on the line. Good morning, Stephen.
Hi, good morning. As far as issues or things that were in the news this last year, just a recent thing that I saw in the news was they passed bipartisan, both the Democrats and the Republicans, the Space Force just in the last week or two.
Oh, my, yes. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty much it. Just that it was a bipartisan when they got together with what you're saying as far as the defense budget. I guess if that was a part of it or something on the side as well, but just in the last week or so. So that's going to be a huge, huge thing. And I think Boeing, with their new space rocket that they just tested also in the last week, fairly successful with just a little malfunction. It seems like that's big doings.
That's right. They're going to get Donald Trump a little Space Force to play around with. It's very interesting. I read an article. There's a guy named Victor Grossman he's an American, but he spent a lot of time in Eastern Germany during the Cold War. And he writes about this space thing. And one thing he mentions is that if there's any kind of a shootout in space, it doesn't have to be a big, huge war. You can have so much debris floating around in space. There's a lot of space debris right now, but there'll be so much more that it would put all our satellites and all these things we have up there out of commission. And so it'd be like the lights would go out for Earth because of the space wars. So that's something to think about. Anyway, thanks for that comment. We'll go to, I think John is on the line.
Yes. I would like to point out that there are certain events going on in Pacifica because of a $3+ million loan that's going to become 100% fully due about 1 1/3 years from now in March, April of 2021 because the Einsteins at WBAI during the Great Recession were accumulating a very poorly negotiated, unaffordable monthly bill on the transmitter on the Empire State Building, and they just let the rent due on the transmitter accumulate indefinitely until they had to fire most of the staff at BAI during the Great Recession.
I think they
got an emergency loan from an undisclosed party at a somewhat subprime rate, which they have not made any progress in paying off because both the membership numbers and the aggregate donations are heading downward in Pacifica.
Yeah, where do you see this headed? Where do you think this will wind up?
Well, I'll tell you exactly. I mean, 2 months ago, faction of the board of Pacifica, specifically from KPFA, and this managed to KBOO simply and logically because a lot of your non-local programming originates in either KPFA San Francisco, KPFK Los Angeles, or even WBAI in New York. And a faction of the board went on a kind of weird James Bond mission 2 months ago to New York and deliberately stole the emergency broadcast system broadcasting device, because it's illegal to broadcast locally, without that emergency device being present. So they stole it. They padlocked the BAI offices. They poured it in electronically. A remote feed for the New York Signal from
KCFA. But I think isn't BAI back on the air now? I mean,
it is back on the air now because their lawyer got an injunction against the KPFA faction on the Pacifica board, and they forcibly removed the ringleader, short-time president of Pacifica,
Let me break in here. I've been following this myself, and it's a very complicated story. I recommend that our listeners look up, find out information on this, because it looks very drastic, very dire future for Pacifica Radio.
But with the dour implications, not just for Pacifica, but because of your entanglement as an affiliate, it has some implications for KABU. It's not actually an extremely complicated story, because when irrationally, no one chose to do anything for several years accumulating.
Yeah, I'm going to have to break in.
If they don't pay,
yes, we.
The
all right.
Creditor is going to seize the buildings of the broadcast buildings of both KPFA and KPFK.
That's why
they tried to seize the stations in order to.
Okay,
sell
let me say
the only way to save Pacifica.
Okay, where can people find out more about this? Oh, our caller is gone. This is a story that everybody here should be aware of and follow as much as they can. There is a group, I think it's called the Media Alliance, and I think that people should go online and find out what is going on at Pacifica. I realize, as the caller said, we do have some programming that Pacifica provides. My favorite program is Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. That's one of the best shows on the air. But if Pacifica goes down, or the different stations go down, those programmers, I don't know how they, they do have independent resources, I believe, but who knows? This is something to be aware of in the future, because it could affect KABU too, because we use a lot of their programming. I think we have Stevie Ray on the line. Good morning.
Good morning, sir. So I guess this is like consistent with your lacking or slowly diminishing return on investment concept, because I was calling about peak oil, which
is what
you were talking about at the very beginning at Saudi Arabia.
Right.
And I always like to bring, because there might be some new listeners here, and the concept of peak oil was originally introduced to me by a man named Mike Rupert.
Oh, Mike Rupert. We had him on the air several times here, yes.
Absolutely. He's my hero.
Mm-hmm.
And so he said that Saudi Arabia is already drilling offshore, and if they're drilling offshore, then they know that their main huge group of oil onshore is depleted.
Right.
So they know that they've reached peak.
I think they're also flushing out their with seawater or something to get the last oil out of it.
Yeah, their version of fracking. It's like a junkie taking a rinse. Right?
Yeah, there we go. Yes, well.
So my concern, honestly, and I want everybody to consider this and maybe look at that movie Peak Oil, is that oil is the feedstock for nitrogen. And nitrogen is, all commercial fertilizers.
Mm-hmm.
So that's food. So people think oil equals can't drive my car, oil's going to be this much, gallon of gas is going to be $19. No, your food is going to disappear.
Well, that could
be. So on top of learning how to grow food, which is a years and years and years, get started now. Just plant a mint in a pot. Put
That's
it on your
right.
yard.
Well,
but listen, guys, everyone listening out there, please go to Winco or wherever you prefer your bulk food storage and just buy 20 pounds of rice and 20 pounds of beans. Put it in a bucket. It's so easy. Forget it. It lasts for 20 years.
Beans and rice. Years. Everything nice.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you for that
call. Because it's already grown, and take care, you guys. I really appreciate you.
Okay, thank you for a timely reminder. Oil is not forever. Sean is on the line. Good morning, Sean.
Good morning, Pear. Pear, I wanted to ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of folks believe in what's called the pendulum theory, that, you know, things swing one way politically, mm-hmm. and then they invariably swing back the other way.
Yeah.
To what extent do you think that the United States really doesn't have any kind of internal mechanism for self-correction? Morris Berman had a 2006 book called Dark Ages America, and that was the first time I came across this whole idea that we really don't have that kind of corrective mechanism, and that and my opinion is that, like, with the disappearance of the Soviet Union, the United States, not only are we not going to correct towards social justice or equality or bringing an end to imperialism, but with the disappearance of the Soviet Union, we're actually moving quite rapidly back towards, say, like 1890 America in terms of economic inequality, corporate power, rampant imperialism. So I wanted to see what your opinion was, that without that countervailing force of the Soviet Union, we wouldn't have had things like labor rights, civil rights, women's rights, mm-hmm. and that everything is reverting back to a kind of robber baron, gilded age, capitalism, imperialism.
Well, I think there's something to be said for that. I think interesting thing is that somehow we have demonized Vladimir Putin as almost being worse than Stalin, where that's just not the case. I mean, I'm not saying Putin's a great guy, but I'd say he's an improvement over Joseph Stalin.
Well, like you always make the point that we actually expanded NATO to the borders of the former Soviet Union.
That's
we've
true.
Expanded mm-hmm. NATO to the borders of Russia. Is there anything possibly more provocative? I mean, the Soviet Union was invaded twice. You know, like first at the the American intervention at the time mm-hmm. of the revolution, and then by Nazi Germany in World War II. Is there anything more provocative and quite just, you know, irrational than expanding NATO to the borders of Russia? It's just unbelievable.
It's true, and the people in Washington, they want to this whole thing about Trump and Ukraine, where people don't ask. You know, Trump was playing political games with the military aid we provide to Ukraine. But nobody asks, why are we giving military aid to Ukraine in the first place? It seems to me it's
really
a very bad move. An interesting thing, too, is that the new president of Ukraine, Mr. Zelensky, he was voted in on a kind of a peace platform. He was wanted to come to some agreement with Russia about a whole lot of issues between the two countries. And all this talk, the U.S. has kind of stymied Mr. Zelensky. I believe he's still meeting with Putin, and they're trying to work out some agreement. But
One last thing, Per. I understand. Bernie Sanders has serious limitations. I realize he's not like a perfect democratic socialist. You know, I get that. I'll still obviously support him, but it just seems like any hope for like an environmental or socialist movement in the United States, the day-to-day lived experience of the American people is you have to get rich. You have no autonomy. You have no, in other words, you have no freedom. You know, you have no options for your life. Like, the lived experience is, if you don't have money, your life is horrible. And
mm-hmm.
so I don't see how that is going to produce a social justice or a socialist movement or environmental movement when every day kids are going to school, they're talking to their guidance counselors, they're being pressured by their parents that you have to get a master's degree, you have to make as much money as possible. So there is no internal mechanism for self-correction.
Mm-hmm.
This is going in the wrong direction, and that's only going to accelerate it. I mean, it just seems like that's, objectively speaking, that's what's going on. And I'll hang up now, and thank you for listening.
Well, I think that's a very good comment. I wish I had more time to talk about it, but that is a comment that seems to be coming true. So I want to thank you all for calling in. Stay tuned to KBOO. It's your radio station.
Slip a bookmark into your paperback and listen to KBOO for interviews with your favorite fiction and nonfiction writers. Between the Covers airs Thursdays from 11 to 11:30 a.m. here on KBOO 90.7 FM.
This is KBOO Portland. It's 9:59. Coming up next on Flashpoints, we hear from three present-day revolutionary women. Then at 11, it's Between the Covers, where host Ken Jones will be speaking with Kimberly King Parsons, author of the story collection Black Light. And at 11:30, hear Black Book Talk, featuring interviews and discussions of works by African-American authors. All of these KBOO programs are made possible by member support. If you'd like to become a member, go to kboo.fm or use our mobile app and click on Donate.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Portland's Folk Festival on Friday, January 10th and Saturday, January 11th, 6 to midnight at the Crystal Ballroom in Portland. Portland's Folk Festival is an all-ages celebration of folk and Americana music in Portland. Friday performers include Anna Tivolt, Cedar Teeth, Glitter Fox, and more. Saturday performers include Horse Feathers, The Get Ahead, and more. Again, that's Portland's Folk Festival, Friday, January 10th, and Saturday, January 11th, from 6 to midnight at the Crystal Ballroom, 1332 West Burnside Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm. on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
From the studios of KPFA in Berkeley, California, this is Flashpoints. I'm Sarah Blanco, sitting in for Dennis Bernstein. Today on this show, we feature personal